I'm going to pray. It's my custom before I preach to pray. So if you could bow your head and close your eyes with me, I'd like to do that. Father God, I pray you anoint my lips to speak your word with clarity, with truth, with compassion. God, help me point to a grace-filled, merciful God who's got great plans for his people. God, I pray that I would point to him in a way that would be all-encompassing, that anyone, the whosoever, can come to him. And God, I know that there's many people watching at every location, even on mobile devices. And God, I know that some of those people don't know you as Lord and Savior. They may feel unworthy or disqualified, not good enough because of some of the choices they have made. God, I pray today that they would see that your love is radical towards them, that you're not mad at them, but you're madly in love with them. God, I pray they'd come to know you by the end of this message. And God, I pray for those of us that do know you, whether it's been a week or 30 years or longer, God, I pray that our level of love for you would increase, that we would know how wide and how high and how deep and how long it is. And God, that we would leave here not just inspired, but transformed, that we can really change the areas that you place us throughout this region, at our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in the places that you have us, that we would take ground and make your name famous. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Yeah. Five people clap. Everyone's got to clap. It's a church rule. It's a church rule. Five people claps. Everyone claps or you get smacked. We're going to, I'm going to preach a message from a text. I thought, what could I say to a church who has done so many great things? And what can I say to a church who has seen God's faithfulness over and over again? And what could I say that would catapult it into the next 30 years? And I believe I got a message that can not only help Champion Center, but you as a person, that God wants to do greater things in your life. I heard a famous preacher say one time, in all that God has done, let's not assume that that's all he wants to do. That famous preacher was your pastor. But essentially in that statement is that God is not limited, that he has more for you, that he isn't holding back. He's waiting for the right time, and we got to catch up to speed with what he wants to do. The Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 43. This is what God says. The God who builds a road right through the ocean, who carves a path through pounding waves, the God who summons horses and chariots and armies, they lie down and then can't get up. They're snuffed out like so many candles. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. I love this word. When I read it, I hear God bragging on himself. And if anyone could brag on themselves, it's God. He said, hey, y'all, remember the Red Sea? I opened that up. Yeah, I did that. Remember the rock? You guys wanted water, and I made water come out of a rock? Yeah, I did that. Remember when you woke up in the wilderness and there was some stuff on the ground called manna? What is that? Yeah, I did that. Remember the last 40 years when you were wandering through the wilderness? I took care of you. I was faithful to you. I let the Egyptians give you all the money on the way out. I did that. And then he goes, as much as I'm bragging on myself and everything that I've done, let's just not go over old news. Forget all that. I'm about to do something brand new. I guess what I want to say to you today is our God is not limited. Our God has more where that came from. And my message title that I hope would inspire you is this: he's not done. I want you to touch three people. Touch three people. Tell them he's not done. He's not done. He's not done. He's come on, Bellevue. He's not done. He's not done. He's not done. He's not done. I think one thing that we get trapped on is success. And when you've seen success for a very long time, whether you've overcome some obstacles in your life, in your marriage, whether you've overcome some habits and hang-ups, maybe you've seen some good days in your business, I think sometimes success can be our enemy. Because the only problem with success is you can get stuck in the good old days and miss the greater days to come. I guess what I'm saying is we all have this ability to think about what was and how good it was. Have you ever noticed that everything that was good in your memory is always better than what it really was? Like the house you grew up in is bigger than what it really was in your mind. so amazing going in today. It's like 300 square feet. Everything was better. You were a better athlete. You were prettier. I'm just teasing. Anyways, but when I think about success, we see this in marriage where couples will, as they carry on in years of marriage. I'm getting ready to celebrate 17 years of marriage this year. And you can get to a place where you go, babe, remember when we first got together? And remember you used to write me love letters and you were a poet? And remember we used to go on trips and eat out and actually go on a date? Remember you used to shave and shower all the time? I'm still talking about the women. And Nair, come on, somebody. Anyone remember Nair? Get your Nair on. You just put on makeup. You actually wore pants with a button instead of, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And I think what happens if we're not careful, we try to go back and recreate what was and miss what could be because our previous success has got us capped. The same is true in church life, and in our walk with God. Sometimes we'll say things like, man, I just want to feel what I felt when I first got saved. Because God, I felt He was so close. He was so real. I wish we could go back and sing the old songs. I wish we could do church like it used to happen because I felt God more then. And God, what He would say is, that was good. That was great. I'm glad you loved it. But can you stop going over old news? Why do you want to go back to what was when I got something better on the other end? I got more where that came from. So I just want to give you a public service announcement. He's not done with you. He's not done with your marriage. He's not done with your business. He's not done with your kids. No matter how bleak or dark your situation might get, we serve a God who is not done. He has not run out on blessings on you. He has not run out on favor on you. He's got an endless supply. He's not done. He's not done. I started thinking about this concept because, you know, I've seen a lot of success in my life, and a business owner at a certain season of my life, and our church is thriving, and it's easy to go, man, is this it? And I just realized that, you know what, that God wants to do something new. He's not a limited God, He's limitless. That whether you're 12 or 75, God has more that He wants to do in and through your life, that He is not running, there's a new level He wants to take you to. But the new, this is what I found out, the new that God wants to do is going to require a new way of thinking. You can't get the new thing thinking a old way. The Bible says it like this in the book of Matthew. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure. What it's saying is our mentality can't hold what God wants to do because we don't know how to deal with pressure. Your relationship, your marriage may not get to where God wants it to because you can't deal with the pressure. You know, like, shut up. But you can't deal with shutting up. So you keep nagging, and that pressure of doing something new keeps you from. Or your level of thinking in business or family or your relationships or what God is. We stop. We don't get it because we can't handle the pressure. And the Bible says that the new wine in an old skin, it would damage the skin. It would burst from the pressure, spilling the new wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Is that the new that God wants to do in and through you is going to take a new way of thinking. You can't get what God wants to do hanging on to what was. What God was trying to tell these people was, hey, look, I'm the God who split the Red Sea. I'm going to split the Jordan. You're going to walk through water. But I'm trying to change your mind because when I get to where I'm trying to take you, you're not going to walk through a wall. You're going to walk around it. And if you keep going into the new battle like the last one, you will not be able to defeat the next giant because it takes a new way of thinking. In Egypt, I made them give you all the gold on the way out. I single-handedly provided for you. You didn't have to lift a finger. Quail came in, water came in, manna came in. But on the new that I'm taking to you, you're going to have to fight to take possession. You're going to have to plant and you're going to have to harvest the ground. The new way of thinking is going to require you to do something different, and we don't like new. I found out we like new, we just don't like brand new. Let me explain that a little bit deeper, because you're saying, yes, I like brand new. No. You like brand new, the same version of the old thing, just new again. Let me give you a practical example, because y'all not feeling me right now, but you will here in a second. Every year for Christmas, I get two items. They are staples in my house, and I don't even know why they wrap them anymore. They should just give them to me. I expect them. I demand them. They better be there on Christmas. And those two items are socks and underwear. Oh, y'all have that demand too? Come on, somebody. It's time to retire them old ones. I need. Okay, but here's the problem that I have. I am a creature of habit. Maybe you're the same way. I like a certain brand. I'm a Hanes guy. So I don't work with Fruit of the Loom. Calvin Klein, I ain't got time for that. I'm Hanes. Socks, I have a Nike sock. It's a specific Nike sock. I like the way the threads are on my toes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So every year on Christmas, I get these new batches of socks and underwear. And there are times when I open it up. And Nike has the audacity. Someone in their corporation thought, we need to make a new dry fit. We need to do something in the ankle. We need to make it fit tight. Or the underwear, it went from elastic to now it's just the fabric. Or it was they were long, now they're all riding up on you. They were bagging. You know, they just mess it up on you. And there's nothing worse than you thought you were going to get the new thing just repackaged, and it's completely different. I know you're frustrated when that happens, I am too. But what I've learned is when I put the undergarments on or the socks on, after a couple days, I was like, thank you, Jesus, for some technology. This dry fit stuff is amazing. Where has this waistband been my whole life? It's slimming me out. I feel like a new man. Oh, you don't like undergarments? You don't like that one? I'll give you another one. Cell phones. Oh, you know what I'm talking about, because we all want a new phone. Until we get it, whether you're Samsung or Apple, whatever the thing is, you get it, and when you pull it out the box and it doesn't work like your last one, I hate this stupid thing. Can't even make a phone call. Where's my contacts? I don't even know how to get on the internet on this thing. But then after like a week and you figured it out because you're not going to read any directions, because we're too good for that, and then you get it and then you're like, oh my goodness, this is way better than the last one. I remember when text messaging came out. Remember that? I was like, text messaging? Mm-mm. I'm anti-text messaging. No, I better hear someone's voice. Someone better call me. They ain't just gonna reply with a K to me. I ain't getting no K. You crazy. I'm from the old school. Go back to the rotary. Where you had to remember people's phone numbers. Remember that? You actually knew them? Some of y'all don't even know your own phone number. You just send a contact. I'm telling you. I remember when text messaging came out, and I was like, I'm not going to do it. No way. And then one day I got the courage on my Nokia flip phone to try text messaging. And I remember I had to press the 5 like 17 times to get to the capital. T, H, E. I mean, your thumb got a workout to spell the. No wonder why everyone was just going K. That's all I can give you. That's all I can give you right now. I ain't got 20 minutes to write you a love letter right now. But the moment I realized I ain't got to talk to no one and I could just tell them very quickly without interrupting anything. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Jesus, for text messaging. I don't know if I'll ever call anyone another day in my life again. Teasing. My point is, most of us will reject it. We won't get it because we don't know how to embrace it. And I remember when I read that text for the first time and something came alive to me. And I realized when it said about how the new wineskin, you will lose the wine because it'll burst. I realized, I used to say this all the time, that most of us miss what God wants for our life. And I say, no, we don't miss it. We lose it. We don't miss it. We lose it. Like the promotion that God wants to give you, God was trying to give it to you. The boss was ready to give you the raise. They were ready to give you that position. But if you're not careful because you lack character or they see something because you can't handle the pressure, you don't miss God's blessing. You lose it. There's some of you who are single who've been praying for that Boaz, or you've been praying for that Proverbs 31. And she showed up. She sat next to you a couple weeks ago. She was at your job, and God brought him to you, but then they saw the thing that you couldn't handle, and so you didn't miss it. You lost it. There are many things in the church where we're going, oh my goodness, God, why isn't it this? And how come we need to reach more regions? We need to do more things. God going, hey, look, the harvest is there. You're not missing it. You're losing it because you can't handle the pressure of being the example that I need you to be and to be a voice piece for me in the middle of a dark. You're supposed to be light in a dark world. And so you don't miss it. You lose it. And I don't want you to miss what God has because you got old wineskins trying to come into a new environment the old way. It doesn't work. So you need to transition. I'm going to give you three ways to transition. The first one is from seeing an example to being the example. God wants you and me to step out of spectator to participator. If you want the new that God has, if you want to see the brand new that he has, and that brand new is exceeding, it's exceptional, it's amazing. What God wants to do in and through you, in your family, in your world, in your business, in your marriage, in your wherever, God wants to do it, but it's going to cause you to go from seeing an example to being the example. Too many times we live in a self-absorbed world where we want everything catered to us. We want everything catered to me. And God's going, hey, look, I need you to step out of seeing good things to being good things. I need you to step out from seeing good marriages to now recreating yours to be the marriage that everyone wants to look at. I need you to step out, stop saying, yeah, I wish I could be a dad like that, or I love the kind of relationship they have. No. You get that. You go after that, and you be that example for that other student. You got to step from spectating to participating because God wants to do something brand new in your life. It says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Because we are united with Christ Jesus, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Here's what I'm saying. What God would say to you, what God would say to me. There's a leader in you. That God needs you to be the leader in your house, at your school, at your job, in the community. God does not want you to sit back and let someone else be the example. No, he wants to point to you and go, look what I've done in his life. I know you remember the old him, but he went from seeing an example to being the example. I know you remember the old her. I know you remember their old marriage. I know you remember the old way they used to do business. Yeah, I remember the way they used to do church, but I want you to see it from a different angle now, because what God wants to do in and through you is because you got to transition from seeing an example to being the example. I'm telling you, it's my firm belief. I'm a local church guy, so just hear my heart. I believe that everyone who attends a local church should contribute to it in some form. Because all of us love the high five we got when we came in, And when we dropped our kid off at the children's ministry, we're thankful for all the children's workers and volunteers and team members who do that. We're so thankful that the bathrooms are clean when we go to them, and the people hosting us in the lobby at every location. We're so thankful for the people who come early and sing these beautiful songs to help lead us into worship. And I guess what I'm trying to tell you is there's more people coming every week that are broken, and they need a hug from you, and they need a high five from you, and that kid needs to see you. They need more men of God to stand up and show them you don't got to go to gangs and drugs. And come on, you need to be that. God wants you to be the example. It would have been real easy for me to go, you know what? I came from a broken home. No one ever taught me any better. I didn't have a dad. I've never seen a marriage. I guess I'll just keep seeing the examples around me. Something inside of me said, God has not run out. That if he can do it in them, if he could do it in him, if he could do it in her, then surely he could do it in this kid from Yakima, Washington, the armpit of the state of Washington. I believe that our church will go from seeing an example to being an example. I believe my marriage went from seeing an example to being the example. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm saying at some facet, he wants to do it in you too. You're not created to sit on the sidelines. You're supposed to play in the game. The number two thing is this, that you've got to go from receiving to giving. It's a new way of thinking. For some of you, that's really challenging. I fully understand it. In our culture today, we are self-absorbed. We're all about me. We love to receive. There's nothing wrong with receiving. I think you should receive. I love receiving gifts. I love receiving compliments. I love receiving friendships. I love receiving great ministry from great teachers and great preachers. And I love receiving the things that people have invested into my kids. I love receiving. But if you want the new that God wants to do in and through you, you can't live tight-fisted. Most people never see the new that God has because they're so worried that if I open this thing up, someone's going to take advantage of me. Can I tell you? They will. But that doesn't mean stop living open-handed. Some of you don't trust God with your resources because you're worried. Is anything going to come back? Some of us don't make our world wider because we're worried. Is anything going to come back? But when you live tight-fisted, not only do you not let anything out, but you do not let anything in either. And God wants to do something through you that he can take and give, and you can release and pour, and he can give more and let it out. It comes in, it comes out. You're supposed to be a conduit of his blessing. And that only happens when you say, I'm going to go from receiving to giving. This is what those people had to do. This was a new wineskin. Because what's interesting is God gives them everything in the wilderness. They don't have to do anything special. But on their first battle of Jericho, they have to give God a big offering. All the plunder belongs to him. They had a transition from God always giving to us now giving back to God. But they knew that if we gave this first battle to God, that he was going to provide many more battles for us to take our plunder. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is God said, he said it in his word. He said, you know what? Remember, I opened up the seas, let you walk on dry ground. I did that. Remember, I provided for you. I did that. And I want to assure you that when you go from receiving to giving, I'm still the same God that provided for you then, and I'll be the same God that provided for you now. I want to help some of you today. Can I just speak to you from the heart of a pastor? I want to help some of you today. You need to really consider coming to Team Church Conference. Get the time off of work, pay the money, not just the nights, come to the nights, but come to the mornings, because it helps you transition from being see an example to be an example. But not only that, it helps you to learn how to be a giver. Some of you, I know what you're saying. Oh my goodness. Oh, the money thing. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is, has your way worked? Oh, the church wants my money. Yes, we do. Let me just clarify. Read my lips. Yes. Everyone wants your money. Starbucks wants your money, and you give it with a smile. Thank you, Mrs. Green Lady. American Cancer Society has a good cause, and they want your money to find a cure for cancer. The AIDS Foundation has a good cause, and they want you to help. American Red Cross is a good cause, but can I tell you, there is no cause greater than the kingdom of God and the local church. We're trying to cure a disease too, and it's called sin, and people are going to hell, and we need as many people as possible to open up their life and say, if you can use anything, use me, because my grandson needs to see the love of Jesus, and my son needs to see the love of Jesus, and my husband needs to believe. Come on, somebody, do you believe that? Shout amen. So here, I'm gonna give you one more point. You can be seated. Bellevue, I know you're going crazy. I know you're going crazy. I want to give you this last one. You got to transition. If you want the new that God has for you, it's not going to be easy. We can't expect that God's just going to give it all to us. He's a good God. He's got good gifts for his children. But we have to get our mind ready to receive it, or we'll lose it. You need a transition, because what I found out is this. The greatest limiter in our lives is not resources. Some of you will go, if I just had this, whatever that this is, that your life would be better. If I just had a different spouse, if I just had a better car, if I just had more resources, if I just had a different job, if I just had more friends, if I just knew more people, if I just would have been raised in a different house, if I would have just came from a different environment. I guess what I want to tell you is, the greatest limiter is not resources that are outside of our control. Your greatest limiter in your life will be you. And so this last point I want to give you has got to get you to shift your mind from a I wish to I will. Some of you just need to change your confession, because many of us live in the wish land. Man, I really wish I could beat this addiction. Come on, wake up and just say, you know what? I will beat this addiction. Well, I really wish my kids would love Jesus. No, 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 no. My kids will love Jesus. I really wish my marriage could look like that. No, 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 no. I will have a marriage. I wish we can make an impact in Bellevue. No, we will pack that house out. I wish we could take more ground. No, 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 no. We will take more ground. No, I wish I could be a dad like that. No, 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 no. I will be a dad like that. I wish I could get my degree and go back to school. No, I will go back and get all that God has for me. If you believe it, shout amen.